Angel 95, and back again today with another Kingdom Factor broadcast with Mark Queen, and an exciting community, a tribe, so to speak, here in Manhattan area. We talked last time about different seasons of businesses, different people at different stages and environments, and dealing with people and that kind of thing, and how most of the problems that everybody has in business, probably somebody else has encountered, regardless of whatever profession they're in. We all have all of these factors involved in that. And Mark's with us again today to talk about that. And well, Mark, let's talk about some seasons of business, environments, and people.
You know, you just mentioned that you've got all of these different people, and everybody's got a perception. Mm-hmm. They see things differently, and we get trapped by our perceptions. You know, we talked about in the last podcast, mm-hmm, about how my world transitioned, and my definition, my perception of success was my perception, and I was growing that way until I realized, wait a minute, there's a different definition. And when that happened, my perception changed. Mm-hmm. Well, that happens for all of our listeners. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody that is out there today, somebody got up today and they were trying to go into their law office, and they got a call that something bad happened inside of their family. Mm-hmm. And their office time that day was changed, mm-hmm, because their perception was moved. And it's a battle for all of us. And the key is that as we move through these seasons, these perceptions, I want to use my airplane analogy, mm-hmm, that when you're on an airplane, you actually have four different things that really occur. You've got what I'm going to call the launch process. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I got to buy a ticket. I got to get to the airport. I got to check in at the gate. I got to get my boarding pass. And all of that stuff is busy work, right?
Yeah.
It's just everything that you've got to do to be able to get on the airplane. And until you've done all that stuff, you're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And some people might think in their business that they're so tied up, their activities are all about this backstage stuff, mm-hmm, that has to happen before the trip can actually do. They wonder if they're ever going to get there. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just stage one. That's a season. We've got that inside of our own businesses, right? Mm-hmm. Well, not only do we have it inside of our businesses, our team members have that same thing. You know, when you hire a new team member and you bring them in, they're not jumping in and they're way down the road on their flight. They're getting all that backstage stuff done. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get on the airplane. So that's what I want to call the launch. Mm-hmm. That's that area of the launch. Okay. So then we move from the launch. The next thing that's going to happen is we're going to have takeoff. Mm-hmm. And what's the first thing that they always do on the airplane when you take off?
Well, I give you instructions of what happens if, you know, if there's a problem about the mask and everything and where the doors are and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, make sure you're buckled before we take off here.
Yep. Seat belts, tray tables, put your phones on silent, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And the remain buckled light goes on, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So now we're taking off. You don't need all that stuff unless you're flying.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So there's a new stage. We've got the launch stage, and now we're getting in the air. Mm-hmm. So boom, we're off. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm sitting there, I've taken off, I got to leave my plane on airplane mode, but now all of a sudden I can put my tray table down, I can put my seat back, I can get my radio, I can get my computer out, I can do all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. That's a season. But then the season switches as soon as that light goes off, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So, all right, what happens when the light goes off? Well, first of all, there was somebody that needs to run to the back of the airplane.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So they got to take care of that issue. But the world changes. That's another season as soon as that light goes off, right? Mm-hmm. And the airplane stays that way for quite a while until one of two things occur. If you hit turbulence, what's the pilot going to do?
Well, he's going to make the announcement that you better buckle your seatbelt if you don't have it on.
Yeah, and the light goes on.
Light goes on, right? Yeah, right, yeah.
The light is going to go on, mm-hmm, and it's going to go on for two reasons. You've either hit turbulence or we're starting our descent. Mm-hmm. We're starting the landing protocol, mm-hmm, and therefore you've got to stay buckled. Get your seat back up. Get your tray table in. There's activities that have to happen in that fourth stage that don't happen in the third stage. The things that happen in the third stage don't happen in the second stage. So we've got these stages inside of our business. So why we're bringing these people together in the tribes There's a lot of power in knowing all of the different ways that your seat back can operate. There's power in knowing the different people that are on that airplane that are around you that have different perceptions. Mm-hmm. See, the person that got up as soon as the seatbelt light went off and they jumped out of the seat.
Yep.
We know what their perception was and what was priority.
Yeah, right.
They had an issue right then and there that they had to address.
And you can't always, you know, the environment, you can't always adapt to that. Sometimes, well, I'm sitting over here and my wife's in another row, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you've got all these people with all these different perceptions and all a bunch of different opinions about how things can be handled. There was somebody on that airplane that they didn't need to jump up because they took care of business before they got
right.
on the airplane.
Been there before.
Right?
and
so that's the power of the tribe, mm-hmm. that you're bringing in all of this experience into the airplane, if you will, into that tribe meeting to be able to help the people do what matters. And what matters is that we have a conversion. The majority of our listeners, Jerry, I don't think, and I want your opinion, I think the majority of our listeners today are in commerce.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're in the business of having a kingdom impact. What do you think?
I would agree. Yeah, I think so.
And so if being a member in a tribe can truly begin that conversion process to say, wait a minute, there's before the light of God, mm-hmm. in my business. This is the way I used to do it. And when the light went on and I allowed God to enter my business and I began to have a kingdom impact, there's only one change.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important change. And I'm going to begin to run my company in a different way. I'm going to treat my employees intentionally in a different way than I used to. I'm going to treat my customers in a different way than I used to, because the light went on,
mm-hmm.
and I made that conversion from mm-hmm. being in commerce to being in business for God.
Yeah, otherwise, we're just peddling and really getting nowhere if we're operating as just a business without any sort of heavenly direction, I guess we would say.
Absolutely. And so when that happens, what we've done is we've built this system and we've learned a lot by my own businesses that my wife and I have been able to create. We've learned all of those backstage seasons that have happened. And although we're in different industries than a lot of the listeners today, there are hundreds of industries that are listening to your show today, mm-hmm. that there's a lot of similarity. We've talked about that on our last podcast. There's a lot of similarity between them, and we've learned a lot. One of the biggest lessons that we learned, it can be lonely to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You agree to that?
I would agree.
We can look back and say, you know what? I'm bearing all this risk. Looks like our revenues are down. I got bills coming up. Where's the money going to come from? I need to go sell something. I need to go do something. Versus a kingdom-based company that would say, God, mm-hmm. we need some revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to trust you to do it. What's my role to do it? And that can be a lonely place.
Mm-hmm.
So,
go ahead. But again, we have tribes and groups of people, different ways of life, different businesses, but yet we all have common purposes, of course, to serve the Lord and do the work there as if He were our boss. He is our boss. And so we involve people here that are like young entrepreneurs, but also there'll be some who are seasoned veterans who can maybe mentor some of the younger guys.
Yeah. You know, one of the other problems that we have as a company, I know how I started. Mm-hmm. I started undercapitalized. Mm-hmm. When you started your radio station, were you overcapitalized? You had all the capital you need to do anything you ever wanted to do with your radio?
No way. I just had a banker that believed in me. That was it. Yeah.
So it's so interesting that's a major problem that we have. We're undercapitalized.
Mm-hmm.
So we've learned that, man, we're lonely. We've learned that we're undercapitalized. And a big result of being undercapitalized is we're our own cheapest labor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Look back over your life at the times that you said, oh, wait a minute, I won't hire anybody to do that. I'll do that myself. I can do that. I'm competent. I'm competent. I can do that.
Yeah.
So we don't delegate. Now, wait a minute. If you started your company with $100 million today, if I gave you all of that capital today, do you really need to mow the lawn? Do you need to turn the light switch on? Or can we have a team? And we'd go out and hire a team and hire all of these people that we know that would help to honor God. No, that's not the way we start. We start undercapitalized, and so we're willing to spread ourselves too thin. And how many people do you know, Jerry? How many listeners do you think that when I say the following are going to be convicted by it? They've spread themselves so thin that their faith has been at cost.
Right.
Their family. It has cost their family that they've spread themselves trying to do so much inside of the company that the family is saying, hey, are you going to show up tonight? Are you coming home for dinner? Oh, honey, just one more thing. You know, I'll be there. Yeah, I'm coming home for dinner. I'll be there. Can you get it on the table at 10:15 p.m.?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, wait a minute. When did the wife and kids eat the dinner? Or the wife calls up and says, honey, I won't be home until 9 p.m. tonight because I'm going to do just one more sales call.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We're succeeding in our business commercially at the cost of our family and our faith. That is not doing business the way God wants us to do business and have a kingdom impact. So we take these lessons that we have seen so many people do. We've got secular techniques. We think about a scorecard that people would be looking and saying, okay, well, you know, if we're going to succeed at a higher level, we got to have more scores. Mm-hmm. Well, when's the last time you saw anybody that was scoring their steps in their faith and their journey? And actually being accountable to doing that.
Yeah.
So
gonna happen. Yeah.
We're not going to say that secular scores are bad, but we're going to say, wait a minute, we got to keep score about how we're growing and becoming closer to Christ and what we do. And one of the biggest problems with that, I know somebody who doesn't want that to happen. Who doesn't want us getting closer to Christ? How about Satan?
Well, yeah, Satan. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's got his hand. He doesn't want us growing together. He wants us to be able to flounder and not enjoy the glory that God has in mind for us, the glory that he had in mind in the Garden of Eden. He'd like to keep us from that. So we've learned that we need to be watching for those concepts that keep us from being able to do that. We can think that we have employees. As entrepreneurs, we know our employees have a difficult time in relating. They don't know what we go through.
Yeah.
So if they're operating at a different level than we are, then there's an issue there also of transparency. Why do we think that we have to hide what's going on at the company?
Yeah.
If we've got good people, if we've got the right people in the right seats inside of our company, that means that we trust them, that we've created a culture that honors God's kingdom, and we're not the only ones that have good ideas. We're not the only ones that have solutions. So we know that when we have a kingdom-based company, that we're able to share the load, the workload, the real workload about making this entire ship float and provide value to the world that God wants us to succeed and have in.
So oftentimes we think that, you know, we're the only guy that's got this problem, and I really don't want people to know that, you know, I've got this issue. But when you finally open up to other people, even if it's a different profession, you realize that my problem isn't too uncommon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you think of all of these areas that the problems can affect. I remember a lot of times, they're going to be listeners today that I'd say, which was more important, going into the office on Sunday and making sure to get that work done or going into worship? And there have been people that have said, oh, I got this project is due. I've got to get it done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can worship wait? Well, obviously, worship can wait if you set your mind to do it that way.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's really what God is wanting out of us.
I think we're forsaking the assembly of people. I mean, you can go online and watch a recap of the sermon.
Yeah. But some people won't even take the time to do that because that project at work is more important than my worship.
Yeah.
And at that point, what we've done is we made our success in business be an idol. And I use the wrong word. It's our success in commerce to be the idol. Versus if we're in business, treating that business as if it belongs to God and we are merely the stewards here on earth for us, then that means that God owns the business, not me. And Jerry, if God owns your business, do you think he's gonna let it fail?
No.
I don't care if you're a plumber or you're an electrician, you're a lawyer, you're an accountant, you're a financial advisor. It does not matter what you are. Mm-hmm. If God owns the business, He's wanting you to take time to make sure that you are in worship. He wants you to be the leader you need to be in your family, whatever your role is in your family. He wants you to lead there. He wants you to steward those children. And He wants your business to be profitable. And He doesn't want that, but that's not what Satan wants. Mm-hmm. Satan would love to see your company struggle and to challenge us to be able to say, oh, to succeed, I got to forget about worship. To succeed, I got to forget about the kids, that they've got events tonight. You know, there'll be another event. I'll catch the next one. Mm-hmm. No, no, that's not what we should be about.
Well, the Kingdom Factor is a group of like-minded business people, even though they're not the same profession. In fact, that's one thing that you try to guarantee as a tribe. And so we talked a little bit last time, but about how the tribe works and how expansion into other tribes is possible.
Absolutely. And so when you think about these different people that are in the tribe, you know, almost every business is going to have a payroll they got to meet. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know plenty of companies that have had trouble with payroll. Mm-hmm. You know, we had an event happen last year. Some big bank out in Silicon Valley shut down. Mm-hmm. That bank handled billions of dollars of payroll. Mm-hmm. And it interrupted around the United States, if not the world. It interrupted employees getting paid when that bank got shuffled all of a sudden. Okay, wait a minute. Well, how did those entrepreneurs handle that situation? I'm going to make up a number. If there were 1 million companies affected by that single bank's issue of not being able to process payroll, you think all 1 million of those companies solved the problem the same way?
Probably not.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
There were probably 1 million different ways mm-hmm. that it was solved, mm-hmm. right? No, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of similarities among some of them. But there were some of those people that solved that problem in a very unique way that was different from the other side of that problem. And that's what happens inside the tribe. Mm-hmm. Imagine that you have a payroll problem and you bring it to the tribe and we talk about that. Well, the reality is you've got 11 other members and a facilitator that has a perception as well. And everybody is able to pour in and say, you know, Jerry, I'm not going to shit of upon you. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you the way we've done it. We've had 3 major payroll problems before. And the first time, this is what happened. And here's the 6 things that we did to solve it. And then the second time it happened a little different way. And we learned from the first time that we did it. And we came up with 2 new strategies of how to fix the problem. And the last time that we had the problem, we had 1 trigger that we had to pull and fix the problem. Mm-hmm. And the person that brought the problem is sitting there going, thank you. And then all around the room, everybody is bringing their experience of the different way that they've solved the problems. And then the other issue is there are people sitting in your tribe that have got the same problem and they haven't even seen it as a problem yet. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there and going, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that that plumber brought that problem because I didn't realize I had that problem until today. Mm-hmm. And so I can subvert that problem and completely avoid it by implementing some of these steps that I learned because that person brought the problem. Mm-hmm. Oh, the power of the tribe.
Oh yeah.
Exponential by being able to, we call that the magic.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
And no guilt trips either. I mean, we learn from each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no judgment needed because when you're coming and you listen to the different things that have been done by all of your peers that are in the room, then you're able to sit down and say, you know what, Jerry, thanks for telling me that you used a red coat to fix your problem.
Yeah.
Well, the reality is I'm allergic to red dye and I'm never going to touch a red coat. It's never going to help me solve my problem, but I get it. It's really not the color of coat. It might have been the coat was the problem. Because if it's cold outside and you need to go somewhere, color of the coat don't matter.
That's right.
Right?
Well, let's let them know that, of course, you can find out. We have frequent interviews here with Mark Queen here, the Kingdom Factor, and CoreScore. And you can go to our webpage, angel95fm.com, and you can listen to past interviews we've done here and also find out more about the organization. Any concluding thoughts, how they can connect with you?
Yeah, let's go to the website, www.corescore.net. And it's important. We matter. Good seeds are going to fall. And they're either going to have a 30-fold harvest, they're going to have a 60-fold harvest, they're going to have a 100-fold harvest. Jerry, there's somebody listening today that they're convicted by that scripture, and they've seen that they've only been able to have maybe a 2-fold harvest. Maybe they're having a 60-fold harvest, but they haven't had 100. We want to help them to be able to achieve that.
All right. Kingdom Factor. Keep tuned to Angel 95. We'll be hearing more. Go to our website, angel95fm.com, to hear past interviews. And I hope you as a business will succeed even more when you put your focus on Jesus. Thank you for being our guest today.
My privilege. Thank you, Jerry.